The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold. The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen. Amma ba'du fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Raheem. As salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. The Prophet of mankind, the peace of our heart and mind, the most generous and kind, صلى الله عليه وسلم, said, recite durood salutations upon me abundantly. No doubt, it is purification for you. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Salatan wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. My dear Islamic brothers, alhamdulillahi azza wa jal, we are participating in Farz Ulum course. In this course, alhamdulillahi azza wa jal, the basic, essential and obligatory things are being taught, and alhamdulillah we are trying to learn. So far, alhamdulillahi azza wa jal, aqaid, beliefs about Almighty Allah azza wa jal, beliefs about prophets alayhimu salatu wasalam, and especially the beliefs about the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and other different essential ulooms we tried to learn. Inshallah, today we will learn about sharait, preconditions and faraid of salah, which are obligatory, which are necessary, and if a person will ignore any one of them and he doesn't perform any of preconditions, or he does not perform and act upon accordingly to any fard, his salah will become invalid. So these are those obligatory and essential things which a person must keep in his mind. Inshallah, first of all, we will learn these things. Inshallah, try to memorize these things. And as well as, we will try to do self-accountability. I'll have to ponder, I'll have to think about myself, that so far, I have been performing salah for almost 20 years, 15 years, 13 years, or 30 years. Did I consider these faraid, these conditions and preconditions or not? Inshallah, if I'll ponder and I'll think about my salah, I'll realize that so many things which were essential for me, I could not learn. So inshallah, if we will carry on like this, a day will come that lot of obligatory things, lot of farz ulum, inshallah azawajal, we will able to learn. May Almighty Allah azawajal give us divine guidance to learn the obligatory things of deen as well as to act upon those things. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Salatan wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. My dear Islamic brothers, we have learned the matter of salah, inshallah. Today we will learn the sharait of salah, the preconditions of salah, and alhamdulillahi azza wa jal, a very good book of Amir Ahl Sunnat, Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah, Laws of Salah. This book is very helpful for us to learn the basic masail of salah. So inshallah, today we will learn the masail of precondition of salah, inshallah, from this book. Laws of Salah, page 110. My dear Islamic brothers, six important and compulsory things which a person must adopt and act upon those things before starting Salah. These six things are called Sharait of Salah or preconditions of Salah. So before starting Salah, these six things are obligatory. If any one of them is not acted upon accordingly, then what will happen? Our Salah will not start at all. I am performing Salah. I am just copying all those actions which are performed in Salah. I think that my Salah is according to the teachings of Islam, and this Salah will be beneficial for me. Remember that sometimes due to very small negligences, a person's Salah does not start at all. Our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, six important, and that a person performs Salah till 60 years, but his Salah is not accepted, his any one Salah is not accepted in the court of Allah. Why? The reason is very simple. Because he tried to perform Salah, but he did not learn the basic teachings about Salah. We also discussed this example. If a person wants to become a driver, then he must have to follow certain rules. If he does not follow the rules, he can't become driver. And the rule of that country, law of that country, won't allow him to drive the car even for 1 meter. So how is it possible? If a person wants to go from Pretoria to Johannesburg, he wants to only and only go for 60 kilometers, let's suppose. And he has the ability, he has the skill to drive the car, but he doesn't have license. What will happen? According to the rule of country, according to the law of country, he is not permissible to drive a car even for a single inch. So my dear Islamic brothers, we have set the destination and target to enter in Jannah. Entering in Jannah, is it so easier that we do not need anything to learn? We do not need anything to follow? My dear Islamic brothers, there are certain rulings about each and every ibadat, about each and every good deed. We have to consider so many basic things. We won't consider those things. What will happen? I'll get tired while I'm offering nafli salah, while I'm offering farz, I'm offering tahajjud and so many nawafil. But due to the reason that I did not follow the rules of Islam, follow the teachings of Islam regarding salah, now my all this effort will be useless. So if we want to become a real musalli according to the, you can say, the ruling of Sharia, now we must have to learn these things. So first of all, remember, first precondition is taharat. First precondition is taharat, means purity, purification. Now three things are important. First thing is the body of musalli. This is first thing, body, and the clothes which he wearing, as well as the place upon which he is performing salah. These three things must be pure from all types of impurities. Now this is also a very vast chapter, that which type of impurities have the effects of on different levels. So this is also an obligatory thing. What happens now nowadays, if I go to the toilet and some splashes of my urine come upon my trouser or my pajama. Now what happens? I don't consider it serious. Remember this thing, that up to certain extent, if few drops of our urine will come upon our dress or our body, now we will not be able to perform salah without purifying that part of body or clothes. So this is also very important. What happens nowadays, if we have small children, small kids in our house, and they urinate on different places, on bed and our carpet, sometimes in our lap. What happens? We just pour a little bit water on that part, and we think that it is now pak, it is pure. My dear Islamic brothers, remember, Shariat-e-Mutahara has a specific ruling regarding this matter also. How to purify, how to make pure our clothes, Shariat Mutahara also set a very good standard for it. We have to learn that. Because najasat, impurity is, you can say, that thing which we are facing every day. So if we want to perform salah correctly, if we want to make our salah correct according to the ruling of Sharia, for that purpose, we have to follow the certain rules regarding purification which are given by Shariat Mutahara. So remember, if we want to perform salah, first of all, our body, then our clothes, and the place upon which we are performing salah, these things must be pure from all types of impurities. So I hope that all of our Islamic brothers, they would have understood what is meant by purification and first precondition, shart of salah, taharat. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. First precondition is taharat. It means to get purification. First condition is taharat. It means to get purification. To get purification. And what is the standard for purification? That the body of musalli, the clothes of musalli, as well as the place of musalli must be pure. Number two, sitre aurat, veiling. Men's body from navel to the knees, including knees, must be covered, whereas women's whole body must be covered except five parts. Number one, face. Number two and three, both palms. Number four and five, soles of both feet. So for men, just below the navel. Our navel is not included in sitr, in that part which must be kept, you can say a secret, or which must be kept in veil. So this is not included. Just below the navel, from here sitr starts. And up to the knees, and knees are also included in sitr. So this is at least that part of sitr which must be kept in veil, proper veil. And if someone will not follow this thing, now his salah will not start at all. So remember, this is the at least amount of sitr which is necessary to start the salah. Now there are certain other rulings also, that if a person, his sleeves are now folded, what will happen with his salah? If this chest is open, what will be the ruling regarding his salah? So that is another topic. This is that at least amount of sitr which is necessary to start salah. So I hope that inshallah all of our Islamic brothers, they would have understood this thing. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, salatan wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya Rasulullah. As well as women, their whole body must be covered except five parts. Number one is face and their two palms, as well as the soles of both feet. So this is excluding parts of, these are excluding parts of their sitr. And rest of whole the body of women, this must be kept in veil. However, according to a mufta bihi call, valid verdict, the salah of a woman will be valid even if her both hands up to wrist and feet up to ankle are completely uncovered. So this is an exemption for women, that their face, it can remain open, their both hands up till their wrists, and their both feet up to their ankles. This is, these five parts are those parts which are excluded from sitr, which are not included in sitr of aurat, sitr of woman. So if a lady performs salah, then except these five parts, whole body of woman must be covered properly. If some wears such thin clothing that exposes such a part of the body which is fard to be concealed in salah, or that exposes the color of skin of that part, the salah will not be valid. So this is also a very important thing, that if a person is covering his sitr, those body parts which must be kept covered, if he is wearing such type of a clothes which is very thin, and the color of those body parts is shown, now his salah will not start at all. So this thing must be kept in mind. Nowadays, the trend of wearing thin clothes is growing. Wearing such thin clothes that expose any part of thigh or sitr is haram, even when not offering salah. So, if we are in salah or we are outside of salah, in both cases, we are not allowed, nobody is allowed to uncover his, these body parts. For women, the specified amount of sitr has been mentioned, as well as for men, the specified amount of sitr has been mentioned. So, nowadays what happens that normally our youngsters, they wear such types of shorts due to which their knees sometimes they remain open. And sometimes they sit or when they run, what happens, their thighs also they get disclosed. So this thing is not permissible according to Sharia. This is haram, and in this state if a person wears such type of any clothes due to which his color of body, the specific parts is shown or some of his parts are shown, now it is not permissible according to Sharia, and his meters of sin will run each and every moment, whether he is sitting in his house, whether he is outside, whatever he is doing. So this is very important thing, which normally our youth is ignorant of these masail. So if we will try to keep this thing in our mind, and whenever we get chance, if a youngster, we hope that he will accept our neki ki daawat, invitation toward righteousness, if he will accept. Now we hope that if we will tell him the mas'ala politely, in a good way, and he will accept that thing, now it will be wajib and obligatory and necessary for us to tell him that mas'ala, that my brother, my son, my dear, this is not permissible according to Sharia. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Wearing such thick skin-tight clothes that do not expose the color of the body, but reveal the shape of sitr, will not invalidate the salah, but it is not permissible for other people to look at that part of the body. Coming in front of others wearing such skin-tight clothes is prohibited, and it is most strictly forbidden for women. So this is very important mas'ala. Our those Islamic brothers who wear skin-tight jeans or skin-tight clothes due to which the sitr part, they are not shown, but the shape can be judged. Now, it is permissible for him to wear that thing. But after wearing that, it is not permissible to come in front of other people. Now, what will happen? That body shape can be judged or realized by other people. It is not permissible. And especially for women, this type of clothing is not permissible at all. So, this is also very important ruling. We must keep this thing in our mind. Now, nowadays, although the environment here is very deteriorating, the situation here is very worse. But we can, first of all, implement this thing upon ourselves, as well as we can guide our family members. Then, inshallah, we can also spread neki ki dawa to other people. Some women wear such thin shawl that reveals the blackness of their hair during salah, or wear such dress through which the color of body parts is visible, the salah offered wearing such a dress will not be valid. So we discussed this thing also. If women, they're wearing such types of clothes, such types of shawls, through which the body part can be seen, the color of the body or the color of the hair is visible. Now, the salah which is performed in this condition will not be acceptable if 1/4 of that part is visible. So this is very important thing. If we will keep this thing in our mind, inshallah, we will be able to, first of all, apply this rule upon ourselves, as well as we can tell to other people also. First precondition was taharat, purification. Second precondition was sitr. Okay? And third precondition is istiqbale qibla. Third precondition is third, and means face towards Qibla. So, if the musalli, the one who offering salah, turns his chest deliberately, intentionally, from Qibla without a valid reason, his salah will become invalid, even if he turns back to Qibla instantly. Now, this is the precondition of salah, that he must start salah in such a condition that he must face towards Qibla. Now, if he deliberately just turns his chest from the Qibla side, even for a single moment, his salah will invalid. So, this is the first thing. And if a person offering salah at such a place, if someone was passing or due to any reason, due to disbalance, if his chest turns from Qibla unintentionally. Now, for this, the ruling of Sharia is that before saying Subhanallah thrice, he must bring his chest back towards Qibla. So, first thing was, intentionally, he was moving his chest from Qibla. And second thing is, unintentionally, due to any reason, the person was passing and he was passing and touched with him and got disbalanced. And now his face was moved from Qibla to other side, and his chest moved from Qibla towards other side. What will happen? Now, according to Sharia, he has been given the exemption to up to the amount of saying Subhanallah thrice. Up until this time, he must have to bring his chest back towards Qibla. So in this condition, his salah will not become invalid. If he remains in this state while the amount of Subhanallah thrice passed, now what will happen? His salah will also become invalid. If only face turn from Qibla, it is wajib to turn the face back towards Qibla instantly. Although the salah will not become invalid in this case, it is makruh tahrimi to do so without a valid reason. And if a person just moves his face towards any other side, let's suppose he sees towards left, right or left, what will happen? His salah will not break, but it is wajib upon him to just move his face back towards Qibla. And if he did this thing deliberately, now tawbah, repentance upon him will be wajib. If someone is present at such a place where there is neither any means to know the direction of Qibla, nor any such Muslim whom he could ask the direction, so in this case, he has to do tahaddi, ponder, as to where the direction of Qibla may be. He should turn towards the direction in which his heart guides him. This is the direction of Qibla for him. So this is also important thing if we are traveling. So if there is no such type of sign or symbol through which a person can recognize the Qibla direction, as well as there is no Muslim from whom he could ask about the Qibla direction, now he has to ponder, think about the direction of Qibla. And if his heart guides that Qibla is towards this side, now he has to offer his salah towards this side. And if there are 3, 4, 5 people and everyone is doing tahri and his kalb, his heart is guiding towards other direction, some one says that Qibla is towards this direction, second says Qibla is towards this direction, third says Qibla is towards this direction, according to everyone's heart's guidance, he has to offer his salah. Now his Qibla will be acceptable, or you can say Qibla direction will be acceptable for him according to his pondering and thinking. If someone offered salah doing tahri and got to know later on that the direction in which he offered salah was not the correct direction of Qibla, his salah will still be valid. It does not need to be repeated. If a person did tahri and his qalb guided, his heart guided that Qibla is towards this direction, and after offering salah, he came to know that Qibla was on this direction, now his salah will be acceptable. His salah will be valid. His salah won't become invalid after completion of salah. If someone is offering salah, doing tahri, another person sees him and starts offering salah facing the same direction without doing tahri, his salah will not be valid. He will have to do his own tahri. We discussed this thing that if 2, 3, 4, 5 people, they are offering salah at the same place. Now, if they don't have any guide to tell them, if they don't have any sign to recognize the Qibla direction, now everyone has to do his own tahri. Nobody is allowed to follow the other's tahri. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala ala sallam.
The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold. The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold.